This episode of the Jefferson Town Chamber podcast is brought to you by Signorama Louisville East, your total project management sign company, and by the city of Jefferson Town.
Buy, boost, and build. Those are the Jefferson Town Chamber's founding principles. The Chamber and the city of Jefferson Town work to make J-Town a great place to live, work, and play. Welcome to the Jefferson Town Chamber podcast. Now let's get into the show and hear what's going on in our great community. Here's your host, Rick Redding.
It is a time of celebration in Jefferson Town, Kentucky, and all throughout Kentuckiana, because it's Derby Week. Derby Week in Kentuckiana, and J-Town is really a big part of that. There's events going on all over town. J-Town, the Chamber, had its big day at the Downs on Tuesday, and it was great. I know we're all looking forward to Thursday night's big party at Woodhaven Country Club. We had Steve Linebaugh on the show last week to talk about that. And if you can believe it, we've done 8 shows already of the Jefferson Town Chamber podcast. We're the only chamber in the country, as far as we know of, that does its own podcast. It's a very special thing, and we're really enjoying doing it and bringing it to you, and having a lot of fun telling you about things that are going on in J-Town and some of the interesting people that we come across that are involved in the chamber. You know, almost 1,000 members of the chamber. We got some great new members. You know, at the beginning of the month, if you go to the chamber website, you can see a list of the new members of the chamber. It's just amazing. The organization keeps growing and growing constantly with new members. And speaking of members, the deadline is next Friday, May 13th, for the BOOM Awards. That's Best of Our Members. There are 5 big awards that you might want to nominate someone that you know in the chamber for some of these awards. There's a new member award. There's a member of the year. There's an award for community involvement, one for workforce education and development, and a volunteer award. So it's a big ceremony. It's one of the biggest and coolest events of the year, where we sort of pat each other on the back and talk about some of the great things that are being done by some of our members in Jefferson Town. So remember that's the BOOM nominations for BOOM Awards. Deadline is May 13th. Get your nominations in soon. So after the Derby, of course, life is going to go on. You got Mother's Day on Sunday. I hope everybody's got their mom taken care of and thinking about that, because usually you had a week's gap between the Derby and Mother's Day. But this year, because it's so late, the Derby is the first Saturday in May, of course, but this year it's on the 7th, the latest possible. And what you need to know is, don't forget about mom on the day after the Derby. That's Mother's Day. So certainly a big weekend for our local restaurants, going from Derby and all that. So another couple of events coming up in J-Town with the Chamber on May 10th. You can play golf with Chamber members at Woodhaven Country Club. That's the same site as the Thursday Oaks Eve Bash, and Woodhaven is hosting the J-Town Chamber Golf Scramble. It's the golf trail, actually, and you're welcome to go out there. You know, it's not really a competitive thing. It's a networking program, and it's a lot of fun. Get a hold of Mark Russell or anybody at the chamber, and get out there and play some golf on Tuesday. I'm sure the weather's going to be great Tuesday, May 10th. And on May 12th, on Thursday, there's a business at breakfast coming up at Mimi's Cafe, and those are great networking events too, all sponsored by the J-Town Chamber. So a lot of good things coming up. There's always a lot of activity at the chamber, and on this show we like to highlight some of that. And this week I want to tell you right now about who my guests are. My first guest is a long-awaited, well, I was very excited about getting to talk to Ken Hatmaker. He is the new police chief in Jefferson Town. He's had a busy couple of weeks getting going on the job. He is a busy guy, but I really enjoyed getting to talk to him. Chief Hatmaker has been a part of J-Town like for a couple of decades. He's very knowledgeable about the city and has a very good attitude. I think he's very inclusive. He's going to talk to a lot of folks you know, he's very approachable, I guess I should say. And if you have a problem or any sort of issue involving the police, he welcomes your comments and your phone calls. You can call the police station and ask for the chief right up there. So anyway, I think you'll be interested in my interview, which is coming up really soon, right after this, is in the first part of the show. And the second part of the show, though, if you didn't realize, it's Derby Week, and it's also Cinco de Mayo, which is a great celebration. I asked Rosa Segoviano, learned how to say that. I asked Rosa about the Cinco de Mayo event. It is, believe it or not, the biggest day of the year for Senior Iguanas. And now there are six locations of Senior Iguanas. Believe it or not, one for each brother in the family. It's a great family business. Rosa tells a great story about how all the family members work in that business, but they really do it upright with the food. Rosa is the executive chef of the business, and the margaritas, of course, are special. If you want to know what an iguanarita is, I suggest you stay tuned. It's a very special drink over there. The Senior Iguanas in J-Town is right there on Taylorsville Road, next to Grand Avenue. It's been there several years now, and there are five other locations around town of Senior Iguanas. And so we're going to talk to them about Cinco de Mayo. So stay tuned for Rosa right after the interview with Chief Hatmaker, and then the Ask the Mayor segment, which is, again, about the police and heroin situation. We're going to repeat last week's question because I think it's so important to hear what the mayor has to say about that program that starts August 1st. All right. And lastly, I want to tell you about our sponsor, Signorama Louisville East is the place to go for your on-premise signage. It's a very important part of any business. 50% of new customers first learn about a business from on-premise signage. So as people drive around and drive past your business, it's very important to put up a good image, put a good image out there. And Wendy and Lloyd over there at Simon Armour Louisville East on Bluegrass Parkway, their number is 502-454-4321. They will take care of you and make sure your signage is appropriate and welcoming to new businesses. They also do vehicle graphics over there. So if you want to get your car, your fleet of cars or your vans or trucks looking good with some good signage on them, call Wendy or Lloyd over there at Signorama Louisville East. All right, now let's get on with the show. It's going to be a great one. I think you'll be very interested in my conversation coming up right now with Police Chief Ken Hatmaker.
This episode of the Jefferson Town Chamber Podcast is sponsored by Signorama Louisville East and the City of Jefferson Town.
Today I'm at the police station with someone who's not a new face, but they have a new title in front of his name. Ken Hatmaker is the new police chief. Ken, welcome to the show.
Rick, I appreciate it. Glad to be here.
I'm curious about, you've just been in this chair a few weeks now, and I guess you're getting settled in. There's a lot to do at first. But I guess with Chief Sanders' departure such a surprise, what odds would you have given yourself when he left that you'd be the new chief?
Well, I guess technically speaking, 1 in 15. There were, to be exact with you, there were 15 people is what I had heard. I don't know that had put in for the job. And those are pretty steep odds. Mm-hmm. I do like the fact that they picked someone from the inside that knew the department, knew the city, knew the businesses, knew the folks around J-Town and how we do things.
Okay. And this is a big step for you. You've been with the J-Town department how long?
Over 15 years 15 and in years. Law enforcement close to 20.
Wow. Okay. So, obviously and no one would dispute that you're qualified for the job. Were your expectations at what point did you think you might have a real shot at it?
The second round interview. Okay. That lasted quite a while. The mayor and I talked at depth about details, about specifics that I may try to implement or direction that I would go. Okay. And at that point, I felt more comfortable with that. Again, not having been offered the job, but it was a very at ease conversation.
Okay. And just been in here a few weeks, but what kind of, are there any, I guess I would say, are there changes, but are there is there a style that you're going to advocate, or are there any differences between you and the previous chief?
We have a lot of overlap and believe in a lot of the same things. And I think whether it's myself, Chief Sanders, or the next guy in whatever department you're looking at, I think in law enforcement we strive to have a balance between service and law enforcement. And whether you're dealing with individuals, businesses, taxpayers, transients, you try to strive that to have that balance in between service and enforcement. And you don't want to go too heavy to either side. You don't want to appear too strong on crime, but at the same time, you don't want to appear soft on crime or make businesses think they're in an unsafe area. But at the same time, you don't want to be stopping their customers or new businesses to the area, and they get stopped all the time. So in law enforcement, it's a constant effort to strive to have that balance between service and enforcement.
Okay. Well, it's interesting you say that, because that seemed to be like part of the theme. I was here the other day. You had a press conference announcing this new ANGEL program for treating heroin. And I remember you said something along the same lines, that you're not going to be soft on enforcement, but this new program is designed to help people, right?
Yes, and that is part of that balance, and we believe that is a great balance. You know, the people that need to go to jail and go to the penitentiary, they're going to go. Drug dealers, persistent felony offenders, violent offenders, they're all going to go and be incarcerated. Those are the people that need to be incarcerated. The people and individuals that need help, we're going to try to get them the help they need.
Okay. And let's go through just a couple of specifics about this new heroin program. I know it starts August 1st, and it's something that Chief Sanders was at work for a long time before he left. And I know this must be something you believe in strongly as well. Just give me a few of the details of this.
Sure. It's the ANGEL program it was started in Gloucester, Massachusetts, and they've had very great success with it. I'm an old school narcotics guy, investigations guy, enforcement guy. So at first I was a bit skeptical, and now I'm on board. They showed me some hard numbers of property crime reduction by one third, and in other areas it's up to 50%. I heard in the state of Wisconsin they've got a similar program that where the numbers are highest 50% reduction.
That's okay. I had a little interruption there, but anyway, the point is this program you're starting here has shown results elsewhere. The thing that strikes people, I guess, is unusual when you first hear about it is, oh yeah, right. Addicts are just going to walk in the front door of the police station and surrender their drugs and their paraphernalia.
That is a new concept, yes. They are going to have to put trust in us to do what we say we're going to do, and that's a constant issue for law enforcement. You've seen high-profile incidents around the country where, you know, law enforcement may have stumbled a little bit, but fortunately for us here in J-Town, we don't have that image or that problem, and we have to do what we say we're going to do. If they come through the door wanting help, we have to get them the help.
Okay. And you're partnered with a lot of other organizations like that provide those services, treatment centers, et cetera.
Yes.
And is that is the cost of that being absorbed by Jeffersontown, or is it
No. Our cost is, as I understand it, our cost would be the hourly rate for that officer that takes 45 minutes to an hour of his or her time to triage the person that comes through the door and get them connected with an ANGEL, which is where the name receives its the program receives its name from, which is a civilian volunteer whose family has either been touched by addiction or their own life. They've been an addict and want to help people. And then that is our investment in this. So at that point, you know, an hour's salary for the officer that's there with them in the lobby.
Okay. So J-Town's not paying for the treatment or anything like that. You're just getting them there.
We are
making
an avenue.
It possible.
We are an avenue and a conduit to get them the help that they need. And obviously we wouldn't sit with someone through detox or give them medical treatment. That's going to be done by those professionals. Sure. So that's not our cost.
And I'm sure you've done the research, but you know, for people that don't know, how serious of a problem is this heroin problem in J-Town? I mean, we hear a lot about national stories, statewide stories, but here in J-Town, how big of an issue is it?
We have saved four lives so far this year, one a month, with naloxone, the administering of naloxone to someone who is pretty much on death's door. Mm-hmm. There's been one a month there, and Rick, there are runs daily. I hear runs go out on each shift daily, multiple runs of us responding to overdoses. So you extrapolate those numbers out, it's thousands and thousands a year the way we're heading now.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, sometimes you hear these stories on the news of these almost bizarre crime instances, and, you know, my immediate thought is, well, he must be on drugs. Sure. Is that a lot of your crime runs?
It is. It is, or anything that's bizarre, such as a kidnapping, road rage, carjackings. People, when they cannot find their fixed, they are human beings at their worst, or as I like to say, you know, it's people that have lost their humanity. Mm-hmm. The drug just turns them into a different being, and they're going to do whatever it takes to get that high. And if that means hurting someone, stealing, kidnapping, unfortunately, that's the lengths they go to.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I certainly understand. Well, let's switch gears for a second here, and I want to just talk to you about the whole idea of being chief. And, you know, certainly you're going to have your own policies, your own way of approaching the job. For, like, business owners out there, are you going to be somebody that we can get a hold of? I mean, are you going to be accessible to people?
Readily accessible, readily. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our businesses are very important to J-Town. Our officers know our business owners. There's businesses that have been around here before I was even born that mm-hmm. I still, you know, we still maintain contact with, and those, what we call the old J-Town businesses. But, sure. You know, at the same time, we want the new businesses to come in as well.
Okay. Okay. Well, certainly that's true, and all the members of the chamber, of course, are very interested in law enforcement. Do you see a lot of crime in terms of, like, in the property crimes and such, damages to businesses, say in the industrial park or anywhere like that? Or do you think? I know there's nothing to compare it to, but does that consume a lot of your time?
It does. It does. Our industrial park's big. It's huge. And we do spend a lot of time there. And unfortunately for drug addicts or other criminals or just thieves, for that matter, they target places where people aren't there 24/7. And there are a lot of those in the industrial park. We're aware of that. We put folks out in plain clothes, plain cars. I've actually observed a truck from Indiana with a stolen trailer from Shelbyville back through Louisville Tractor's front gate and attempt to steal a full-size tractor and a Skag. Wow. And that was, you know, late one evening. But that property crime goes on everywhere. It's not just, mm-hmm. you know, restricted to J-Town.
And do you offer businesses, I mean, you know, it seems like there'd be some sensible advice from law enforcement
sure.
about how to protect your business. I mean, I guess cameras are pretty obvious thing, but what do you tell businesses to protect themselves?
Lights left on, security fences are a great thing. Have an updated emergency contact number and contact person. So if we do have an incident where someone's trying to break into a business and we do happen to catch them in the act, that we have someone to call. That's more of a problem than the actual catching these perps out
sure.
here. We're working hard and do catch them, but oftentimes we find ourselves with an old emergency contact. You know, if there's new management or a new owner, we need to have that information.
Okay, okay. Well, I want to wrap it up, but I want to ask you a little bit more about the job itself. And
sure.
And because you didn't change places of employment, but you changed responsibilities, I
yes,
suppose.
Sir.
And tell me how it's different. I mean, I don't know if you were how long it's been since you've been out patrolling in a car, but how have things changed for you?
It will be different roles. My background, obviously, we all start in patrol. I've got a patrol background for many years. I started law enforcement in 1998 and went through and continued to work patrol on through 2006. 2006, my focus switched primarily to narcotics and undercover and vice and
okay.
More major crimes, violent offenders. And from then, got promoted in 2008, have been more an administrator, but yet still in the trenches, if you will.
Okay.
So I think the biggest difference is, as a chief, you worry about all your people instead of, an investigations commander. You're worried about investigations and putting the worst of the worst in the penitentiary. So it's a step back role and say, hey, it's much more broad and you've got more people under your care that you truly need to worry about.
Right, right. Well, it's certainly more responsibility. I think certainly J-Town's made a good choice. Glad to have you on board, and I'm glad to know I can call you when I see somebody speeding down my street. Right?
Absolutely. Call me anytime. It's great to be here. It's great to be here, Craig.
And now it's time for our Ask the Mayor segment. I'm with Mayor Bill Dieruff, at the Jeffersontown Police Department had a very exciting announcement today involving the fight against heroin abuse.
J-Town started a HERT project, which is a heroin emergency response team, to come up with innovative ways to help the person with addiction. Not to just talk about it, but to do something in an innovative way that hasn't been done before, because we realize what we're doing right now is helping, but hasn't totally taken us over to where we can actually solve the problem. So today, J-Town is announcing a program that has been going on in Gloucester, Massachusetts since last June. It's called the ANGEL program. The ANGEL program is whereby a person that has an opioid addiction can walk into the police department, and the police department will make sure they have a place to go and a place to where they can heal from the addiction that they have.
Thank you, Mayor. That's a very important announcement. The program begins on August 1st, and you'll be hearing more about it here on the Jeffersontown Podcast.
Well, it is the week of Cinco de Mayo. I'm here at Senor Iguanas with Rosa. And Rosa, welcome to the show, first of all.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And, you know, this is a busy week for every restaurant in town, but for yours, for a different reason, right?
Absolutely. This is a huge week for us. Cinco de Mayo is the biggest day of the year, and we're always excited about it, and we look forward to it all year long.
Okay. And the fact that the Derby's going on this week, all the other stuff going on in town...
That just makes it all the better. this year we've got especially over at our Churchill Downs location, we have one on 2nd Street, and they are really going to get blasted. We have Cinco de Mayo's Thursday, and then we have Oaks, and then Derby, and then Mother's Day's right.
Wow.
Right, all right in a row. So
nobody's getting any time off.
No, not a chance.
Well, you were telling me about the group, this family business that, mm-hmm. that owns all the Senor Iguanas. Tell me about that group, because it's really interesting how you've kept it all in the family, I suppose.
Yes. It is totally family owned and operated, and a lot of people, I think, we've kind of rebranded, and we've had a really good marketing guy, and I think that's kind of confused people, and they think that we're a franchise, but it's actually just all family owned and operated. So everybody in the family works here at the different locations. My mother-in-law, my father-in-law, all my brothers-in-laws and their wives and sisters-in-laws, and now the children are growing up, so we've got some kids working.
But I understand your immediate family, you ran out of brothers. Is
yes.
That right?
Yes, my husband, he is the Senor Iguana. And so he's one of six and children. So they are managers at different locations. And
so that's why there's six restaurants.
Yep. Then okay. We ran out of brothers, and so now we have cousins coming in, and we're looking to find more family to keep sure. it all in the family.
Well, this is a great location here in J-Town, and you're members of the J-Town Chamber, which is great. Mm-hmm. Tell me about your journey to America. I mean, I know you mm-hmm. all weren't all born in Louisville, right?
No. I'm actually from Ohio. Okay. Which isn't too far from here, but now my husband and his family, they've been here, let's see, it's been a long time, probably close to 20 years, and we've been here in Louisville area for about 8-9 years now.
Okay.
So we really like it here. I think okay. it's a great, I like the way it's situated, you know, it's not quite Midwest, it's not quite Northern, it's not quite Southern, so mm-hmm. it's just right to me.
All right, well, it's great. Now, Cinco de Mayo, you tell me a little bit of the history of why it's such a holiday, but tell me specifically right here at this restaurant in J-Town, what's going to be going on this week?
All right, well, we'll have a lot of fun giveaways and promotions, and of course, we'll have some great drinks, the margaritas.
Iguanaritas,
yeah.
I like that. Y'all coined that term, I think.
Yes, and it is, it's my personal favorite margarita that we have here. It's it's a and it never goes on special except for Cinco de Mayo. So
oh, really?
If you
one
want
day
it,
a year.
one
an iguanarita.
Day so the
what do you get?
$4.99
for an iguanarita. And that's just so for people that don't know, an iguanarita mm-hmm. is different than a margarita in what way?
Well, it's made with premium tequila and Grand Marnier, and it's just a really smooth, just a really, really good margarita. And also, we have some handmade margaritas that are kind of new to the menu. We've mm-hmm. Been preparing those for the last couple months. And those are really exciting because they're so fresh. We don't use any kind of store-bought mixer or anything like that. Okay. It's made with 100% fresh fruit, so fresh squeezed lime juice. And we've got some great flavors. We've got mango, guava, tamarind. So really interesting flavors that are so Mexican. And
okay.
And they're just really, you end up with a nice, crisp, clean, fresh margarita, and guaranteed the best margaritas in town.
Okay.
And so.
Okay. Now, you told me your role here as executive chef. You mm-hmm. have a say in everything that's on the menu. Is your background in cooking? How did
yes.
you come to this?
I graduated from Sullivan a couple years ago.
Okay.
And but I've always been interested in cooking, and so it's a passion of mine. And my husband and his family, obviously, they're phenomenal cooks, so it's just kind of in our blood, and that's what we do
okay.
all the time. We're just always cooking and eating, and it's exciting to be able to be involved here with the restaurant. And we're kind of, I think, moving into some new exciting changes. We just recently redid the menu and added okay. a few things, and
well, let's take a look. What's new on the menu here?
Wow,
it does look different.
Yeah, we've got some new things. I think I'm trying to bring in some really authentic food and
Mexican.
Yes, okay. And it's so fun to see how people embrace it, and they're really really liking it. These quesadillas here, the norteñas, uh-huh. those are doing really well. People are really liking that, and they're just so good and bright and really good flavors.
Well, I'm curious about this. I mean, there is a difference. I know that like if you take the Mexican category and people mm-hmm. think Mexican food, and it seems to me like, you tell me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm. that a lot of it's become like Americanized, and that it's that. And when you say authentic, it's something different than mm-hmm. the stuff you get at like some of the chain Mexican restaurants.
Right. That's Mexican food, I think, gotten a rep for a little while. People, thinking, that, combination plates where, it's kind of all the same thing as mm-hmm. Speedy Gonzales and, burritos and tacos. And there's much more to Mexican food. And like this little, if you see here, this is authentic Mexican street food. That's kind of a fun thing. The taco trucks and tortas, they're press sandwiches. And mm-hmm. so this is real, real authentic. You go to any street corner in Mexico and you're going to find these items. So it's fun to see people kind of moving out of the comfort zone, with the chimichangas and things, and kind of getting
Oops.
A little taste.
Yeah, that's what I usually order.
No, there's like nothing wrong with chimichangas. They're great. But it's fun to introduce, some new flavors. And I think we're always evolving and trying to, get people to
yeah, well,
explore some more authentic options.
It's interesting, because really it is different, because usually you go to a Mexican restaurant, you say, I want number 7 or number 4
right.
or something like that, but you actually have,
Absolutely.
Different dishes with names on them.
Absolutely, and we're moving into, working more seasonal, having some more seasonal options. Coming into summer, we're going to have some new salads. I want to highlight strawberries when they're in season. Where my husband's from is avocado country and strawberry country.
Now, is that in Mexico?
Mm-hmm.
Or, okay.
Right. He's from Jalisco, which is, if you know where Guadalajara is, mm-hmm. that's the second biggest city in Mexico. And so he's from around there. So it's great. You just drive through the countryside, and there's nothing but tequila growing everywhere. And you got the agave plants, and then avocado plantations, and strawberry fields. And when they're ripe, and they just you'll find stands all along the roadside, just selling bushels of strawberries. They're so good.
Sounds great. Yep. Well, let me test you and see if you know. You said there's 6 locations. In addition to J-Town, where are the other 5?
Let's see. We have the original ones in Clarksville, Indiana. And then we have at Central Station over by the...
By U of L.
And then we have Shelbyville Road. We have J-Town. And we have Dutchman's Lane.
Okay.
And now we're out in Okolona is the newest one.
Wow, the newest one in Okolona. So, okay. So you're out of brothers. Are there going to be any more? Or you just got to wait until somebody else in the family comes along?
No, I think there'll be more. I think we're ready to keep growing, and we've got great customers and great towns like J-Town that keep us.
We're right here on Taylorsville Road in J-Town, and the thing is, this week now, this is the only time of year you can get the deal on the iguana.
Right. Now, the flavored, the handmade margaritas, those, we actually have margaritas of the week, and it's the flavor of the week always, year-round for $4.99, and I tell you, you just can't get a better margarita.
Mangonada, I don't know what that is.
Mangonada, this, that's, actually, it's made with fresh mango, and in Mexico, there's a little carts that people sell real popsicles. they make they're called paletas. So my husband's favorite paleta, his favorite popsicle is mangonada. And what it is they put a little bit of hot sauce and crushed up chili flake down in, and then they pour the popsicle mix. So when it freezes, you get this popsicle that's got a little line of hot sauce. So it's mango and a little bit of hot sauce. So we make our own citrus hot sauce. It's kind of a sweeter hot sauce. And so when you order the mangonada, which is the flavor of the week this week, you get just really good premium tequila. It's made with Jose Cuervo Tradicional. And it's fresh mango and a little kick to it. So it's a really good margarita.
Thanks for listening to the Jeffersontown Chamber Podcast, brought to you by Cinerama Louisville East and the City of Jeffersontown. Tune in every week with Rick Redding as he spotlights the awesome community of Jeffersontown, Kentucky.